Now let us hear the reading of the Word of God, a part of the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Mark, the fourth chapter. And then Jesus began again to teach by the seashore. And a crowd gathered around him, which was so great that he had to get into a boat and sat in it, just a little distance from the shore, while all the people were on the land but close to the water. And so he was teaching them many lessons in parabolic fashion. And he said to them in the course of his teaching, "Listen to me. A sower went out to sow, and as he was sowing the seed, some of it happened to fall along the pathway. The birds came and ate it up. Some of it all fell on ground that was rocky, where there was not much soil in it. And the seed sprang up at once, because the soil was not deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched and withered, because it had no depth of root. And some of the seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And so it yielded no fruit at all. But some of the seed fell on good soil and came up and grew and yielded bountifully, some of it 30 times, some 60 times, and some 100 times. And so he said, "Let him who has ears to hear be sure to listen." And so when he was by himself, and those who were with him, with the 12, asked him about the parables that he had used. And he said to them, "To you folk inside," that is the disciples, "the secret of the kingdom of God is known to you. But to those who are outside, I must speak to them in parables. Because they that look and look and keep on looking and yet do not see, and some people listen and listen and keep on listening, but they do not understand, lest possibly they should turn and be forgiven." And Jesus said, "If you do not understand this parable, how are you going to understand any other parable that I speak to you? What the sower sows is the message of the gospel. The ones by the path are those whose hearts, or into whose hearts, the message falls. But as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and carries off the message that has been sown in their hearts. It is so, too, with the ones sown on the rocky ground. They gladly accept the message, but it takes no real root in them. And so it lasts only a little while with them. So when trouble comes and persecution, they leave the message at once. But it is different with those sown among the thorns. They are the people who listen to the message, but the worries of the time and the pleasure of being rich and the passions for other things creep in and choke the message out. And so it yields nothing at all. But the seed sown in good ground are people who listen to the message and welcome it. And so in their lives, the seed will yield some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. And may God bless to our hearts the reading and the hearing of this portion of His Word. If you will take a concordance of the Bible and look up the word hear, H-E-A-R, it will amaze you the number of times that you will find that word. But if you do make a study of it and then attempt to select and be selective about some of the very important emphases attached to hearing, it will yield interesting information. And so this morning I should like just briefly to rehearse with you some of the important episodes in the Bible, a couple from the New Testament, from the Old Testament, a couple from the New, showing the importance of hearing. One of the earliest and perhaps most important and best known to us is the well-known Shema of the book of Deuteronomy. Shema is the imperative, what's called the Kal imperative of a Hebrew word, Sham, which means to hear, H-E-A-R. Shema means hear ye. And every Jewish boy and girl brought up in their Jewish homes were trained in the summary of the law of God, the summary of the meaning of the Ten Commandments. And so important is the keeping of the Ten Commandments in the lives of people, then and now, that every Jewish boy and girl was required to recite the Shema and do it daily. Shema because it begins the first word of that well-known passage in Deuteronomy. Hear ye! The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, your intellect, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor is thyself. The man who denies the truth of this must be utterly blind and stupid. Can't you see, my friends, that the ills that beset us now, everywhere, no matter where the news commentator comments from, you can be sure what he's going to comment about. It will be bad news. Evidence of devilish skullduggery all over the world. Even among people who know better and who claim to know better and who ought to do better. Why? Because they have renounced the very same thing that we are talking about, the Shema. Every Jewish boy and girl was required to recite it daily to remind him of it. Would to God that we could do it and do it with your children too. Hear ye, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt love him. And we want to be sure, my friend, that the love of God is more than just so many words written in ink on a piece of paper. The love that we speak of is really, in the right sense of the word, a passionate concern that God be glorified in everything that we think and say and do and plan. Hear ye, the Lord our God is one. Perhaps the next important example of hear ye in the Old Testament is that well-known experience when just after King Uzziah died in about 740 B.C., young Isaiah, who was quite a close friend of Uzziah the king and had gotten to be on very close terms with him, Isaiah was perhaps one of the court, not bellboys, what do you call them? He worked around the court and was familiar with regal procedure and activities. And when King Uzziah died, Isaiah felt that he had lost his best friend. And as people have always done, they even do it now, get in trouble, they call on the church. And so when Isaiah lost his very dear friend, he went into the temple to find encouragement and comfort and strength. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And John tells us, of course, in the 12th chapter, that it was Jesus whom Isaiah saw in 740 B.C. The pre-incarnate Logos, Jesus the mighty Lord. Isaiah saw him. And when Isaiah saw him with all of his beauty and purity and grace and love, he looked on himself. And he said, "Oh, my, how sinful I am compared with the holiness of God. I am utterly undone. I'm not fit to come into your presence." And as soon as Isaiah confessed his unworthiness, the risen, the ascended Lord, the pre-incarnate Logos, said to some of his cherubim and seraphim, "You go and symbolically remind Isaiah that his sins are forgiven." And you remember they took tongs from off the altar there in the temple, tongs with coal of fire. Placed them on Isaiah and said, "Your sins are forgiven. Now you're ready for service." And this, my friends, is what I was trying to allude to this morning as our new members come in. When one gives one's heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that means, "Now, Lord, here I am. You use me. Even if you're 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, use me for your glory." And so, you remember, Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord. With all of his omnipotence, he uses servants like you and me. "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Lord, here am I, send me." And please notice in this chapter that Isaiah was not a naive somebody who followed unknowingly. He said, "Well, now, yes, I'm willing to go, Lord, but you've got to tell me where you want me to go, to whom you want me to go, and what to say." Those are good matters to think about. And so you remember the Lord said to Isaiah, "I don't need any fire missionaries now. I need somebody to tell this people." Notice that these words were spoken in Jerusalem, in the temple area. And the Lord said, "Isaiah, you don't have to go more than 2 blocks from this building. And you don't have to go to Japan or to Africa or to Angola or anywhere like that. You go right here in the city of Jerusalem. Tell my people to wake up and hear me and do right, and they shall live." Tell them to hear what you've got to say. "You proclaim the message of redemption. I will save them if they will hear and give their hearts and lives to me. I will bless them." And people still don't believe that. And I think maybe Isaiah's next question came from the fact that he must have known these Jewish people in around Jerusalem. He knew how hard-headed they were. They must have been Presbyterians. The Lord, he said, "But Lord, yes, I know where I'm supposed to go, and I know what I'm supposed to say. But how long you expect me to do this? Knowing these people as I do, I don't know whether I'm going to make it or not." And you remember, the Lord agreed with him. And this brings us to the point of the Markan passage, which, by the way, Jesus quoted in the 4th chapter of Mark. How long do you want me to tell good news to these people? And the Lord said, "Isaiah, I'm not going to give you a timetable of how long, but I'm going to tell you one thing, they ain't going to listen to you." They're going to hear you, and hear you, and hear you, and do nothing. But when they have heard the word, they're responsible. Now, we come to the Martin passage, where Jesus has been preaching there on the sea, on the shore of Galilee. The crowds were so large that he couldn't stand there right at the shore, at the water and the shore, and make himself heard or seen. So he got in a boat and rowed out a bit and spoke from the boat. Unfortunately, the English text say that he was sitting in the water, but I don't think he was doing that. The boat was sitting in the water, obviously. But he went in the boat to get a vantage point to do his speaking. And Mark reminds us that Jesus began to speak in parables. Now, why? Seed and the sower. Because, said Jesus, you people, you disciples of mine who've had my training, you know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Those people in Jerusalem, when Isaiah spoke, they knew. That's why Isaiah was challenged to speak in plain ABC language. God is a holy God, a sovereign God, a loving God, has provided redemption. Now give yourself to Him and follow Him. But Jesus said, there's some of you now who are outside. And you don't know the ins and outs of this matter of the meaning of the Christian gospel. And so I've got to speak to you in terms, in illustrative terms, that you can understand. Why? Because he wanted those on the outside to be in the same boat with those on the inside as far as their response to the gospel. Those people on the inside heard the profound truth of God's love and mercy. Those on the outside had to have it illustrated to them so that they would understand. And then said Jesus, now you are bound to understand this. You're bound to understand. Anybody understands what I'm talking about when I say, here's a sower. And you see, Jesus used a perfectly well-known episode. It's possible, as some commentators suggest, that when Jesus gave this story, he could have been looking out there and have seen a sower. Sowing the seed, spreading the seed. They didn't have these automatic gadgets that you roll down a row and the seed gets exactly where you want it and all that business. They didn't have anything like that, of course. But the sower sowed the seed. And so Jesus says some of it fell on by the wayside. The bird came and gobbled it and devoured it. Some of it fell among thorns, and the thorns came and choked it. And it couldn't bear any fruit. Some of it fell on shallow, rocky ground that it came up in a hurry, but there was no depth of earth to give root so that the water and the moisture could get there, and so there it died. And as Jesus explains, he's talking about various ways of hearing the gospel. Some people, my friends, are utterly indifferent to the Christian gospel. This is an amazing thing to me. I don't see how a person, if he has any good sense at all, can be indifferent to what not only the Bible but secular history makes very clear. That God is the sovereign Lord of this universe, and all men have got to stand before Him come what may. One day they'll stand before Him to answer as to how they responded to the news they heard. Yes. And I can't see how so many smart aleks are so allergic to believing. But one day, every one of us. Jesus said this. He knew what he was talking about. One day, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, then all nations shall be gathered before Him. Not a one of us will miss and have to give an account. And God help the man who has to give an account like this. And say, well, yes, I heard that preacher talk about that, but that was just plain foolishness. You can't expect an intelligent PhD like me to believe that nonsense. No one will believe that. Well, you'll find that that PhD didn't help him very much. I'm not against PhDs, whatever they mean. I'm not against them. But they're not exactly what they cracked up to be. A man is responsible for what he is. Some, I say, are just absolutely indifferent. I'm above that. I can't be bothered with that kind of stuff. Others, on the other hand, receive it apparently very gladly. They correspond to the seed sown on rocky soil. It takes root, but just for a little bit. No depth to it. And they become very glad, and we know of Christians who are very joyful for a while, and they ooh and ah, and praise the Lord for very fine, and I'm glad of that, for a few weeks, and then it all simmers down. And the cares of life and the troubles that come every man's way, the disappointments and the disillusionments and what have you, they come and we say, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Sometimes we are almost tempted to feel that John the Baptist almost yielded to that kind of thing. Here he was, the forerunner. He announced the coming of the Lord. And yet, John did not expect to have his head cut off, you know, for that kind of thing. And he found himself in jail. And he thought, well, now this is strange. If Jesus is the Messiah, I didn't expect the Messiah to get me put in jail. And when these women get after you and want to cut your head off, you're in trouble. And so I just wonder, could I be mistaken about this? And so he sent disciples to John, to Jesus. No, I'm really just kidding. John didn't have a doubt, but he wondered whether he'd mistaken the identity of the Messiah. But you'll notice Jesus' answer to him anyhow. You tell John to remember what he's seen me do and say. And you have to hear what a person says. John heard Jesus. Now, said Jesus in explaining the parable, the seed is the gospel. And my Christian friends, every one of us who graces, howsoever ungracefully, the minister's pulpit, is responsible only for sowing seed. I'm not responsible for getting a big church or for getting new members. I'm glad that you're coming by His grace, but you didn't come because of Boyd. You know that, and I know it, and God knows it. It's a matter of my business being to sow the seed of the gospel. Your business is to hear and respond. You don't respond by sitting down and doing nothing. You respond by putting your heart in tune with the love that God's shown you. And to say, here I am, Lord, send me, use me, let me wear myself out in your service, whatever it is. Show me what to do and let me do it. And he can use little children in doing this too. Yeah. The sower is the preacher, the seed is the gospel. The crops that come by are the hearers. How are you hearing me, my friends? As God is my witness, I'm not concerned with having anybody look at the General Assembly's minutes to see the number of people in this church, this membership. I think I know about how many, because I tell you I counted them last night, the other night. But this is not my business. No, indeed. But as I say, God is my witness, my business is to try as faithfully as possible from week to week to let you know what I believe God's Word says about good news and how He expects you to respond to it. It's not just a matter of coming to church four times a month. Some of us don't come that often, by the way. But it's not that. It is a matter of being faithful neglecting not the assembling of ourselves together. There's something about Christian fellowship, and when we come to face it, every Sunday, 10 or 15 or more of our family is not here. That's, I don't know what we do with them if they got here, but they better come. Our business is not to engage in higher mathematics counting. No. But it is to show you God's truth. That every man is responsible to God for how he hears. And the preacher who preaches in a foreign language, and I don't think you can accuse me of that. I admit my English is not the best in the world, but I'm speaking plain. I don't know any big words. But if we're going to use deep, profound, philosophic, super intelligentsia words, then I ought to be put to jail or something. Jesus never did it. Paul really never did it. And so I appeal to you to hear the word as it is propounded and expounded. Don't hear it for my sake. I'm not accountable to God for how you hear. No, indeed. I am accountable for how faithfully I expound the word. You're accountable for how you hear and respond. And the response, hearing and response, involves everything you've got. It involves your time, your faithfulness, your love, your sympathy, your thinking of others, your giving of money. All of these things are involved in responding by hearing. On one occasion, and this is the last New Testament reference that I want to call to your attention. Paul was in prison in Rome, and a few people came in to see him. Some of them challenged his word. And Paul didn't do a thing but quote the same words that Isaiah was given in Isaiah 6. The same words that Jesus quoted in Mark 4. The same word that Jesus quoted again in John 12. Yes, these people hear Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, they hear. And don't do anything about it. I just as well not speak. But in closing, the responsibility is mine, and I hope you'll pray for me to do it right, to sow the seed. I need your prayers. Now, I'll tell you the truth. That's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. My friends, for God's sake, hear me. It's your responsibility to do something about it. You know what I mean. I can't rehearse here the various little things that need to be done by individuals to show their loyalty and love and support of the church. I would be here forever. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Do you hear me?